listening to the Josh Freeman Show.
Freeman, the pass toward the end zone. Toward the end zone. It's caught! Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers!
Now here's Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host, Scott Ledger.
You know, again, A for clock management right there.
Oh, yeah.
That was nice.
Punctuality is a virtue.
That is working your timeouts. You worked that clock. You made me proud there. Good to see you, number five. How you doing,
man? Hey, great to see you too, Ledge. I'm doing very well, actually. Just finished up a good Thursday practice. It's the longest practice, two walkthroughs, about six offensive periods, and feel pretty good.
Let me ask you, coming in as the team, as the season unfolds little by little, and you guys realize, you look around. I said this in the preseason. I said, athletes know other athletes are good. First time you saw Kellen Winslow, your jaw drops and you go, oh, my God. In other words, you recognize talent. And then in August, everyone's looking around. We're seeing, Mike's starting to show up. You're starting to gel. Everything's starting to happen. So you guys going into this, I'm pretty sure that you guys were not, I know it's a cheesy ringer. I gotta get that replaced.
Mine's terrible, too.
It's horrible. But you guys weren't surprised. The rest of us have been a little surprised. Now it's unfolded, and the expectations are starting to go up. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But disappointment comes with it, and that's hard to swallow. So, the Atlanta game was tough to swallow. How was it for you this week? I know you came in a good mood, and we'll talk about Seattle, and there's still hope for the playoffs, and reasonable hope, too. Not miracle hope, but reasonable hope. That had to sting a little.
Yeah, after we lost, you brought up the Atlanta game. After we lost the Atlanta game, I didn't know if I could feel worse about losing. But then we lost to Detroit, and I didn't want to come to work on Monday. I didn't want to see anybody, didn't want to do anything. I mean, it's rough. It really was. The way we lost and just going, knowing that, if we went out, we control our own destiny. Mm-hmm. And then you see the scores afterwards, and you're like, oh, my goodness. How could we let this one slip away? But it's another lesson to learn from. I'm over it. I'm back, ready to go on to Seattle. But at the same time, that's a game that if you want to be a dominant team in the NFL, which is what we're striving to be. You got to win those games, and I'll give it up to the Lions one more time. This is the last time. They played a good game. They have a very good team. Their record doesn't indicate that, but at the same time, they have a lot of talent. Drew Stanton came out, played a pretty good game. Their D-line got after it. Sue did not sack me. He's my buddy. I talked to him quite a bit. He was like, why couldn't you just go down on one of those? And I was like,
it was a couple. You gave him a stiff arm on one. You literally stiff-armed a 300-pound man, dude. That's pretty impressive. We were talking about that the other day with somebody else on the team, and I was like, Josh isn't just quick enough to get around D linemen. He's big enough to shed them like average quarterbacks shed a linebacker or a safety on a blitz. So that's kind of a skill set. It's a little, I think it's taken for granted around here. I think when you're starting to do that on a regular basis, and we're starting to get you like when you get used to K2's catches.
Yeah,
we're starting to get used to you just shedding pass rushers like it's no big deal. That's I know it's a big deal, though. That's the thing. It is a big deal. To sit there and watch you extend a play with your feet is one thing. Lots of quarterbacks do that, but there were times when you were literally, guys were ripping at your jersey, and next thing I know, they're on the ground, and you're still trying to throw a ball. Was it Ernest you completed a pass to?
Yeah, it was Ernest. He made a great catch.
I know the catch was great, but it was how you got the ball to him. So we're pretty impressed. But, let's go back. Detroit scores a first touchdown, and again, we're looking up at a scoreboard. We're down. We're home. We always want to get off to that fast start. Buck fans want 14-0 first quarter. Okay, let's be honest. That's what we want. We're not greedy.
Bucks players want it too.
Exactly. And then you guys take the ball. You get the ball at your own 40, and you just a wonderful mix of pass and run. Everybody's getting worked in. And by the way, wonderful job of mixing up the passes too. But what I noticed about the two touchdowns we scored were they were big plays. It was a 24-yard touchdown to Mike Williams, and LeGarrette bust one for 39 yards. Because we've seen big plays in the offense, but now we're starting to get the home run shot, I guess is a good way to call it, Guys are taking it the distance. Caddy did it, remember, to seal a game. We're starting to see more and more of that from our offense.
Yeah, all year we've been an explosive offense. We've been putting up the big plays, the 20-plus yard plays. But in the Detroit game, and when we were able to do that, we scored touchdowns. You know, there was the one where LeGarrett ran over like 10 people.
That was nice.
And tiptoed down the sideline, another big play. But we have the capabilities to be a very, very explosive offense.
And, you know, you're getting, Williams, Winslow, Ben, Graham, Williams, the other, Spurlock, Gilmore, Strotter, Purvis. It's 11 different guys. 11 different guys got the ball through the air. I mean, normally when you look at this, you know, when you look at the box score for a Manning or a Breeze, those are the guys. That's why they're not so good in fantasy, is because they'll say, well, you know, Colston isn't the only guy Breeze throws to, because Breeze works the offense. Whoever's open gets the ball. That's mm-hmm. the sign to most people that watch quarterback play of a quarterback that's not just locking on his favorite receiver. Now, granted, Stanton had a good game, brother, but let's put it this way. Without the beast on the field,
Megatron.
Megatron on the field. So, you know, when we watched your play, that's what Dave and I were talking about in the postgame. He specifically brought it up, was you really is that coming through you and Ole in play calling, or is that just the reads? How's that working out for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Ole calls a play. There's a primary receiver on every play, and the ball doesn't always go to the primary receiver. I mean, I'm progressing. If they take away the number one guy, I'm working to number two. Number two's not there. I'm going to step up, make somebody miss, and get the ball to number three. If three's not there, I'm looking for Cadillac.
I like that. Talk a little bit about that role of Cadillac Williams. Interesting transition for him throughout the season. I think a lot of guys that are in the middle of their careers like Caddy is, they have such a knowledge of the game that they can do more things. Ernest, for example, asked to play fullback, you know? Uh-huh. And now he's just – he is. It's not like, oh, Ernest is our substitute fullback. Ernest is our fullback.
Yeah.
Cadillac Williams is now becoming our third down guy. His role, talk about his unselfishness and how he's brought – what he brings to the locker room and to the huddle.
I mean, Caddy does it all. He really does. And he doesn't care what he has to do. I mean, he's just like everybody else. It's why I think this team's so special. Everybody on the team wants to win. And I can't say anybody wants to win more than Cadillac. And Cadillac says, I don't care what I got to do. If I got to pass protect, if I got to catch a screen pass, if I got to do whatever, he's willing to do it to win the game.
When you guys are in close games in the fourth quarter, by the way, I mean, you know, granted, Detroit came back, tied it, and won the game. But I think that would have been, I guess you could say, your sixth fourth quarter comeback. You know, it's the stats we keep track of. It's not like you go home and your refrigerator magnets. And you just move it.
Chalk another one.
Yeah, move a little quarterback, quarter comeback in your life. But it seems to me that lots of guys, you know, crunch time, Michael Jordan wanted the ball. He wanted, you know, I want to take that shot. Seems to me that you're starting to really feed off of that now. It's even more and more, it's like, what's Freeman going to do in the second half or fourth quarter of a game? And what is it? Where does that come from? And what's going on in your head? I mean, besides the play calling and everything.
Well, Ledge, that's the reason I started playing quarterback. You know, I really couldn't live with myself playing another position, and we get into a tight situation. I don't have the ball in my hands. I'm not getting the ball in my hands. I want to have the ball in my hands. I want to be the deciding factor in whether we win or lose. You know, if we lose, by all means, I'll take it. It's my fault. But I don't think we're going to lose.
Thus the label, franchise quarterback. Did you expect that? When you know, you come in, you're drafted, you come out early. You know, by the way, you're only 22 in your second year in the NFL, which is fans are like, this is awesome, you know, to see a young guy. But when you were told franchise quarterback and you sat down with Mark Domenech and they kind of gave you, Josh, this is what we have planned for you. Did you foresee what you're in now?
More or less. You know, I would have thought we would have won more games, you know. But, you know, our plans were the same. You know, I think that's why they drafted me. They knew I wanted to come in. I wanted to be the guy. I wanted to be the guy that could win games and would go out and didn't care how he did it, just wanted to win. And, I mean, that's how, I mean, everybody's wired, you know, around here. I mean, we don't care. We don't care if we got to run the ball 100 times a game. We don't care if we got to throw it 100 times a game. Nobody cares. We just want to win the game.
It's infectious. Sammy was talking with Dave Moore the other day on Buccaneers Total Access about the unselfishness in the receiving group. He goes, there's a healthy competition. Everybody wants to do well. Everybody wants to contribute. Everybody wants to, you know, succeed in their individual careers. He says, but we're all rooting for each other. So when Regis makes a big catch, you know, I'm not jealous or envious. Or Mike Williams makes a big catch, Regis isn't that way. Is it because you guys kind of all came in the same part of your careers? Or I don't want you to speak for them, but you do work with these guys. It just seems to, you know, the chemistry of the team is, and I know lots of your players point to your head coach about this, but so just talk about the wide receiving crew. It's just to me, it's like a rec league, a bunch of guys that want to go out and have beers later. There's just this great, great camaraderie.
Oh, man. No. You know? Yeah, yeah. It stems, obviously, from Raheem, like you said. But, I mean, their receivers coach, Coach Yarber, I mean, he does a great job with those guys. And the rest of it, I mean, it's character. It really is. I mean, you talk about a Sammy Strouder, talk about a Mike Williams, a Regis Benn, Michael Spurlock, any number of those guys. None of them, I mean, yeah, they want to go out and play well. They want to go out and have the 100-yard game, but they also want to see each other go out and have that type of game, make the touchdown to win the game, and overall see the team succeed. And I think that's what's so great for me. It really is. I don't have a guy like T.O. or a guy that just, man, I want the ball. I want the ball. It's all about me. I want the ball. Mm-hmm. You got guys that say, hey, Mike Williams gets targeted twice in a game. He doesn't care. I mean, he's like, okay. He's like, hey, Redskins game, he has one catch. He was just happy as anybody we won, you know. And it's awesome. It really is. I feel like I'm able to develop and continue to grow as a quarterback, largely in part to the character at the wide receivers room.
Real quick, we'll go to break, but I got to ask you because you just talked about the variances in those guys. You are you at the point now where you know where everybody likes that ball? You know, Sammy might want a ball a specific way, you know, if he's running a 10-yard dig or Mike's running a go or whatever. Is it when you talk, not just the timing of a pattern, but everybody's a little picky. Hey, you know, can you keep that? You know, I like it low here. Or is it? How's that getting?
You know, they're not picky. You know, really they want it 1 foot. It depends. If they're running a route where they're on the move, they want it right in front of them so they can catch it and keep running. You know, it's you want the ideal ball. You know, I mean, I've had tight ends. Kellen likes passes thrown high. He likes going up and making the circus catches. I mean, Mike's the same way. He likes passes that are up high. But really, I mean, around here – if it's thrown your way, man, they hold themselves to a high standard, and we all do on the offensive side of the ball, that if a ball's thrown your way, you better catch it, you know? Everybody feels that way. They feel like, I'm going to catch this ball. I don't care. Like Michael Spurlock's catch for Cincinnati. That was kind of a ball that I was like, I'm going to make sure we get this field goal off because we've got, whatever, 14 seconds. Mm-hmm. They're playing cover two. The last thing I'm going to do is give them a shot, any sort of an inkling that they can make an interception or make a play on this ball. So I put this ball where nobody could catch it, and when it left my hands, I didn't even think Michael Spurlock could catch it. I was like, it's going to be close. And he made the catch, you know, and that's really how it
the
is.
The next time around that situation comes, that's where that relationship gets tighter and tighter and tighter between you and the individual guys, not just Spur or anybody else.
Yeah, but yeah. No, I feel like I have a great relationship with all the guys, and they are all great in their own right.
That's Josh Freeman. Want to talk to him? Get on the phones. Let's load these phones up and get your phone calls coming in. 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. This is the last Buccaneers Total Access program this week. Josh Freeman tonight. No show tomorrow night, of course, Christmas Eve. And we will have, again, four shows next week. We won't do one again the following Friday, which is New Year's Eve, of course, with the holidays coming. Merry Christmas to you. Get on the phones, man. Josh is ready to take your call and talk to you right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host Scott Ledger.
It's the Josh Freeman Show, Christmas Eve edition. By the way, Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you.
Yep. You got any special plans around here? Are you going anywhere? Family coming here? Anything going on? What's going on?
My family's coming down this year from Kansas City, Missouri. Last year, they weren't able to make the trip, and let me tell you, it was a fairly lonely Christmas morning. But at the same time, I had a Christmas Story to keep me company.
Favorite movie, dude.
Watch it about four times in a row, nothing compares.
I understand other people don't get that movie, and I'm like, you have to understand that BB gun to Ralphie is a bicycle to Sally. It's it's a G.I. Joe to George. It's whatever you wanted. That's one specific Christmas when Christmas was still this magical thing in your life.
Yeah.
And my mom never let me have a BB gun.
Let me guess.
That's right. Exactly. Absolutely. All right, Quentin, stand by. We're coming to you second. Robert, you're up first with Josh Freeman. Merry Christmas and welcome to the show.
Hey, Merry Christmas, guys. Before I get into my question, one of the greatest gifts for all us diehards, Josh, is being able to call up and talk to our quarterback on the phone, man. I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule every week to get on the phones and talk to us, man. For a diehard fan like myself, there's nothing better than getting to call my quarterback and see what's going on, man.
So, no problem, dude. I appreciate the
support.
Yeah,
dude. I appreciate it, man. And, you guys have done a lot for us this year, man, just going out, proving the critics wrong, working hard, man, and I respect what you guys have done. And this week, as far as, after you've looked at the tape and whatnot, what problems do you think, this defense has posed for our offense this week?
It's tough to say, because Seattle, they're all around pretty, they're all right. They have a decent pass rush. They're fairly solid in the secondary.
Tutupu's a beast in the middle.
Yeah, Tutupu. He's playing really good football, but I wouldn't use the word problem. It's one of those deals where execution is key. It really is. I mean, with any defense you play, and you see Seattle, and sure they've got some players. They've got pretty good schemes. They mix it up all right. They got a decent third down blitz package, but that's what we feel like we take a lot of pride in our blitz pickup. And so I honestly don't see any problems, like any glaring, oh my goodness, we got to do something about this guy, or we got to do something about this scheme. It's just going to be a matter of going out and playing Bucs football, playing it to the best of our abilities, playing it how we know we can play it, and playing for all four quarters, something that we feel like if we do, then we'll come out victorious.
Take care of business. Quentin, you are on next with Josh Freeman. Merry Christmas. Welcome to the show, bro.
How you doing, Josh? I'm actually calling from Connecticut. Longtime Bucs fan, I had a question for you guys. For you, Josh. My question is, with this game coming up on Sunday, do you feel any added pressure with these last two games? And how crucial is it for you to have short-term memory loss as far as last Sunday's game is concerned? And, one more thing I just wanted to add to say, Josh, you're just an outstanding quarterback. I mean, your progression from last year, and your work ethic, I think you have, probably the greatest work ethic in the NFL. I really commend you for that. I have a lot of, like I said, I'm in Connecticut, so majority of my friends who live up here, they're big Jets fans. And, you and Mark Sanchez got drafted in the same draft class. And, when you compare.
Quentin's got your back. He's definitely got your back.
Of course, Josh, I mean, you're great. Like I said, you, Mark, and Matt Stafford, you guys all got drafted in the same draft class last year, and hands down, we all know who's on top of that. So, I wanted to say congratulations about that. So, I hope you didn't forget my question, but in case you did, just like I said, do you feel any added pressure with the game coming up, and how crucial is it for you to have short-term memory loss, from the game from last Sunday?
That's a very good question. Obviously – this week it's do or die. The stakes are definitely raised.
It's almost a playoff game in the regular season.
Yeah, and that's how we're approaching it. We're definitely – it's a thing where Raheem came in and he was like, hey, he's like, congratulations on your playoffs starting early this year. And that's how we feel. We feel like we got to win this one. You know, last week was very similar. I mean, it was a game that – looking back, if we would have won, if we could have just come away with that W, we would be we'd be favorites, you know, with our remaining schedule. We'd be definitely, I'd say, ahead of the pack for wild card berth. You know, obviously the Saints are playing very, very good football, but you look at the Giants who let one slip to the Eagles, and then you look at the Packers who lost to the Patriots. And I think, is it Giants-Packers this week?
Giants-Packers is correct, yes.
Yeah, so yep. One of those teams has to play the other.
Both but, coming off of losses. Aaron Rodgers is back for Green Bay, and it is in Green Bay.
Yeah, so last week was it was really a heartbreaker, but at the same time, we're not eliminated yet. And I've seen crazier things happen, believe it or not. So we're just going to keep doing what we've been doing. And, I mean, regardless of what happens, I mean, this weekend we're gonna play every game that we're allotted to the best of our abilities.
It's a 4:15 kickoff, 3 o'clock pregame on the network for the Buccaneers Radio Network, by the way. And as much as we're kind of, you know, we're not glancing over the NFC West, but regardless of their records, it is still a first-place team that's tied for first place with 6-8 record. Granted, it's a 6-8 record, but it's also a team that's, you know, regardless of anything they've done right or wrong, has got a shot at the playoffs. So they're coming in here with the same outlook as you guys. So it really, I expect a playoff intensity level desperation. This would probably be the most ratcheted up game at that level. And I think that's what Quint was kind of talking about. Because when you're – obviously, if you've been around sports enough, you understand the difference between the pace of a preseason game and the pace of a playoff-type game or a bowl game. I mean, I know you have that to use. So a young Bucks team, I think we're going to see another level of you guys. Is that what you guys think is going to happen this weekend?
No, that's the plan. That really is the plan. You know, we have to. I mean, we have no choice. We have no choice but to play our best football, not saying that anyone wouldn't play their best football if this game didn't mean as much. But to us, we got to win. We got to win, and that's exactly what I took from – or that's how I feel. I mean, I took it obviously from Raheem's little speech – or his speech after the game and what he's been saying in team meetings this week. But, I mean, everybody can sense it. No matter – like if nobody's saying it, everybody can sense it. You know, it's a – there's a heightened awareness around the facility this week.
All right. Nice words.
And we have definitely we have our sights set on going out and inflicting our will this weekend.
It's going to be a good crowd. It's going to be, a playoff intensity. If you've got time and a little extra jingle in your pocket, there's a ticket for you at Raymond James Stadium. Don't forget Buccaneers.com. We're going back to the phones. Right behind Sam, we have two open lines in Hillsboro, 813-990-4620 Pinellas. We also have two open lines. Get on them and talk to Josh, 727-461-4620. Sam, welcome to the program, and Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to both of you and your families.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I hope all of you guys, man, have a blessed Christmas, and Santa Claus bring you everything you want. But listen, Josh.
I hope so, too.
Hey, I got a question for you, man. You played ball at K-State with my younger cousin, Joshua Moore. And
okay.
When the Bucks drafted you, he made the phone call and he's calling me, and he was talking, and he was excited about you coming to Tampa Bay, and he was like, man, y'all have no idea what kind of quarterback you're gonna get, and he said, I don't care if you got a 30-year veteran on your team, nobody will work and hit the film room harder than he does. And then we start hearing the stories about you in the off season, how much time you spend in the film room and what your work ethic is, but just seeing that you had it so early, how did you develop that work ethic, number one? And number two, what do you do when you evaluate yourself to push you to do even better than what you've been doing?
All right, well, first I'll talk about J-Mo. Josh, your relative. I mean, J-Mo's he's a great guy, drafted by Chicago. He was he was our best defensive player the whole time I was there, and he's a good player. But I'll talk about preparation. You know, I'm an addict. I'm addicted to winning games. I mean, I there's nothing that makes me happier, that makes me – I mean, I love it. I do. I love going out and playing good football and winning games and having fun with my teammates. At the same time, I'm fortunate. I have great parents, you know, parents that taught me that the only way you're going to get to what you want is hard work. And my college coach taught me the importance of preparation. I mean, obviously I never really understood the magnitude of preparation at the NFL level, but I ran into Coach Olson, our offense coordinator, and this year Alex Van Pelt is a quarterback's coach, and they've really helped me in my journey to better myself as a player, and ultimately I want to be regarded as one of the best to ever play the game. But
are you hard on yourself in the film room with the evaluation?
Yeah. I mean, I get so frustrated because I mean there's some. I mean, if you're talking about a perfect play. I mean, I don't know if there is such a thing in my book. I mean, if you have a play that someone else considers perfect, I consider it, okay, I got lucky, you know. But I think that my work and preparation is what defines me and defines my performances on Sunday. You know, obviously there's a talent level. I feel like I'm a talented player, but there is no way that I'm going to let any bit of my talent go to waste. And that's where it starts, with the preparation.
Mom and dad, man, they instill those in you. And did you hear about Dave Tolleson's mom? Okay, he's the Giants. I think he's like a backup D tackle, and he got hurt the other day. Well, it turns out his mom actually flew 3,000 miles to watch him play, and when she saw him running into the or walking or being carted or whatever into the locker room, she actually showed up in the locker room, and I'm quoting here. She says, "Tape it up. I didn't fly here from California to watch you ride the pines." And this is his quote. She was like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Mom, I'm hurt." She said, "I don't give a expletive. Get it taped up and get in there. I don't want to hear this." Okay. that's a driven parent. The reason I'm bringing that up, first, that's a funny story. That's a very funny story. But the drive you got from your parents, did you find that intensity in your parents when you were, let's say, in a high school championship game or you were getting into a bowl situation? Any time in your career coming into this, were your parents as jacked up as you were, I guess? You know,
my dad was my defensive coordinator all during high school. So, yeah, he was intense. But one thing that I think has allowed me to go about my business and be successful is I don't have any added pressure from my parents other than the pressure that I put on myself for wanting to make them proud. You know, they've let me find my own way. They've encouraged me, helped me, guided me in certain circumstances, but they've never put pressure on me. Like, say, I mean, I'll say hypothetically speaking, I know if I got hurt, like, in high school or something, and I couldn't go, my dad would know that. I mean, he raised me to go if I could go. So I definitely can't go if I'm not playing. But I really feel like that my parents kind of planted the seed, but then they sat back and watched it grow.
813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. We've got about another half hour left on the Josh Freeman Show, taking your phone calls, and we'll shut it down for the week. We'll come at you with your pregame show locally, by the way, at 1:30. That'll be on the AM side. And at 3 o'clock on the FM side, 4:15 kickoff from Raymond James Stadium as the 6-8 Seattle Seahawks come on in to take on the Bucks. If we win, and then we got to turn around, we'll take care of business. We win, and then we're all going to be watching Monday Night Football because it'll be the Saints at Atlanta. And if the Falcons win, then all you guys got to do is go take care of business week 16 in the Dome like you did last year over there. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but it is definitely a possibility. Get on the phones, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620. Open lines also at 1-800-596-BUCK. Buck's coming back for the Josh Freeman Show Christmas Eve edition right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
We're back with the Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE at US 1035.
Coming into the Seattle game, Josh has a quarterback rating of 92.9. He's completed 259 out of 412 passes, 62.9%, 2,959 yards. His yards per pass, about 7.2, 18 touchdowns, only six picks, and only one game all this year, and that was the Pittsburgh game where you didn't throw at least one touchdown. Last year, the stats were slightly skewed the other way. You take a lot of pride in protecting the football this year. You're doing a great job of that. By the way, we've got Blake, Chris, Virginia, and Brian. We're coming right to you, but just seems like, your decision process has gotten better. Give me a couple things that's made that better.
We're just placing an added emphasis on the importance of protecting the football. I mean, we understand that our team is young. I mean, we're competitive, yet not quite dominant in any facet of our game. Mm-hmm. So turnovers play a big role. When it's going to be a close game and we set our job for a close game every week, turnovers do not help your cause.
And the Bucs are +8, by the way. Turnover margin tied for 6th in the league. Seattle is a -9. They are a turnover machine, so hopefully we can take care of that. All right, guys, let's get back to the phones. Brian, Virginia, Chris, stand by. We're all coming to you. Blake in Newport Richey, you're on with Josh Freeman.
Yeah, I was at when point does all the criticism of what the talk show hosts like on ESPN and all the shows like that actually sets in when they say that, you know, the Bucs aren't real and they're just having a fluke season and getting some wins, and next year they don't have any expectations of you. How does that affect your games on Sundays or even Monday nights at worst?
Doesn't affect their games because I was not aware that people were saying that, but
it's because they're not doing their homework if they're saying that.
Yeah, no, say what you want. Say what you want. I mean, I really don't care. You know, I don't care. You look at all I saw was a little chart. They our media people showed me that all the experts, so-called experts, and how many games they picked the Bucks to win this year. I mean, there were a lot of one games, two games, three games. I think the most games that we were picked to win was five on the whole season. And, here we are fighting for a playoff berth. But, I mean, honestly, I could care less what any of those guys say. And I think that my team will echo how I feel.
Amen to that. Chris in Sarasota, you're on with Josh Freeman. Welcome to the show. Merry Christmas.
How you guys doing tonight?
Good,
my question for Josh is, in the beginning of the year, I noticed there was some, like, plays where you would kind of, like, force it and the ball wouldn't go anywhere near where you wanted to go. It kind of looked like a duck flying in the air. And I've noticed that you haven't been trying to do that as much, not floating those balls up there. Because, like, there's a couple times when I watched the game where I was like, please, God, someone don't intercept that. But I've noticed that you haven't done that at all in the past, like, six or seven games. I just want to know if there's something that you're doing to change your game plan.
No. Actually, if it's a ball that's left on the playing field and it just goes up and nowhere near anybody, it's kind of where you're dropping back. There's maybe a little pressure in the pocket and you're stepping up and you're getting back to maybe your second or third progression, and it's a route on the other side of the field, so you're just snapping back real quick right before you get hit to find it. And so you start your throwing motion as you're flipping, thinking it's going to be open, and it's not open. So basically you just look to where nobody is, and in the middle of your throwing motion you just throw it to where nobody can get to
it. It's the equivalent of throwing a ball out of bounds, but it lands inbounds.
But you don't have time. Yeah, you don't have time to get it all the way out of bounds. So, I mean, that's probably what you're saying. And I can remember a couple balls in the Pittsburgh game where that happened, and the Atlanta game, actually the Cleveland game. And, yeah, it was early on. But it's something that, hey, man, you want to avoid a sack, you want to avoid an interception, so you try to throw it up and away.
You played in some of that Kansas wind, so I'm sure wind is an issue to you. Was it the Redskin game probably the nastiest weather you've played so far?
Yeah, we had quite a bit of wind that game.
Yeah, it looked pretty windy.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know why, but I really haven't encountered that many bad weather games throughout my career, whether high school, college, or now professional.
Nope. They're there. For the they'll be there.
Be there.
Know, hopefully it'll be a playoff game. And
thank God I'm in Tampa.
Frozen tundra kind of story. You know, did you, by the way, either see the highlights and or any of that Philly finish with Michael Vick over the Giants? Did you?
I did. It was ridiculous. It was awesome. You know, that was one of the greatest comebacks I've ever seen.
That's that. You know, I mean, for Giant fans to be that close to beating a team in 7.5 minutes and giving up 21 points to a guy who. You know, say what you will about Michael Vick and off-field and everything else. He's paid his debt to society. He certainly, I think, earned his way back into the league and went through the penal system, and now he's turning some heads. So they say he's like 6 foot tall.
He's pretty short.
Yeah, he's not a real big tall guy. But going back to the phone, Sarasota, it's Virginia. Yes, Virginia, you're on with Josh Freeman.
Hi, Josh. My son Larry is a season ticket holder, and my gift, I'm a Bucs fan from Washington, PA, 35 miles from Pittsburgh, and I love you, and I'm proud of you, and my gift every Christmas is to come and see my Bucs, and I just love all of you, and I'm very proud of you, and I think you guys do great, and I just love you all, and God bless you. I think it's fantastic what you've done. I've been coming down here for quite a few years, and I love all of you, and I'm proud of all of you, and I wish you all a very blessed Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and every blessing.
Thank you very much, Virginia. That's nice. Yeah. You hear from lots of different fans from around the world or around the country, don't you?
It's awesome. It's awesome to see the support around the country for the Buccaneers.
Amen. Danny, you're on. Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. Danny, you're on deck. We'll get to you a second. Brian, appreciate you hanging. You're on with Josh Freeman.
Hey, how are you guys doing this evening?
Merry Christmas, Bri.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, happy holidays. I got no questions. I just wanted to say I'm proud to be a Bucs fan. You guys are outstanding. I think the future is bright. I got to wear shades. I've been a Bucs fan since the 70s. Proud to be one. So are all my friends, and you got a lot of support out here. You guys have a happy holidays, and shut them down. Go Bucs.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks. We appreciate that, man. We're trying to make you guys proud.
Getting recognized around town a little bit more?
More or less. I haven't really been around town that much, you know. I've been laying low. The season is pretty much occupies all my time.
After the season's over, you're gonna hang around, do golf, the Florida lifestyle, you're gonna head back to the Midwest and goof around there a while. What are you gonna do?
I'll be back and forth, you know. Yeah. I have big plans for this off season, but mainly relax, recoup, and get ready to come back and win next year.
All right, right back to the phones. It is, I believe, Danny. Danny, you're on with Josh Freeman.
Hey Josh, Merry Christmas.
Hey Danny.
Listen, I have a quick question and then I'll hang up. I noticed something about you when you're playing. I don't even know whether you notice it about yourself. A lot of times you'll pass to a receiver will miss the ball, he'll drop it, and it's obvious that he should have caught it. A lot of times it looks like they've missed a route. In all the years I've watched football, I've seen a lot of these guys, some of them been to the Super Bowl, these outstanding quarterbacks. Even recently, you'll see them yelling and actually bad facial expressions. They grab their head. I've noticed you a lot of times smiling and all. My question is, what do you say to a receiver if he misses a ball that you know he should have catch, and if he misses his route? Merry Christmas, and I'll hang up and listen to you.
You know, that's a good question, Danny. Missing a ball and missing a route are two separate things. You know, I'm really competitive, you know, but at the same time I have fun, and I understand that my guys they have the same mindset, the same goals as me. So if I have a guy that drops a pass or maybe doesn't quite get to one, that's one thing. You know, I know he's going to make the catch the next time. I know he's going to be hard on himself because he wants to win just like
I do. Give me an example. I'm running off the field. I just dropped a pass. What do you say to me?
Sometimes there's nothing to be said.
Get it to him.
Sometimes you got it, man. Just relax. You know?
Okay.
Because, I mean.
So you're not riding him hard?
No.
Okay.
I really don't, because I know these guys, they're going out and they're laying it on the line as well, you know. Now, a busted route is another thing. You know, that's something that's really unacceptable in the NFL. And we see very few of them, very few of them. You know, if a guy busts a route, you have had all week to learn the script, learn the plays that could possibly be called on Sunday, and that's your fault. There's no excuse except for whether it's lack of focus, lack of preparation. Either way, it's not acceptable. And you might see me or hear me give somebody an earful after that. But for dropping a ball, you know, what can I say, man? I know my guys are trying to work.
I've seen you get on some guys that were short on the sticks on third down. You know, not running a – you know, he's third and eight, and you're running a six-yard pattern, and you get stopped. And I've seen you, you know – yeah. Say something to them. I'm not sure what you're saying, but I've seen a little bit there.
Yeah, I mean, what it's situational football. You know, awareness is a big part of it. You know, and I mean, a lot of guys. I mean, they understand it, but they. I mean, you got to stress it all the time. I mean, whether it's a coach stressing it to me, the coach stressing it to a receiver, me stressing it to a receiver saying, "Hey, let's get this done." I mean, we're all in it together. We really are.
Let's get on the phones again. Nate, we're coming to you in a second. 813, got two open lines in Hillsborough at 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620. It is Buccaneers Total Access. The Thursday night show is called the Josh Freeman Show. Nate in Bradenton, how you doing, buddy? Merry Christmas.
Hey, guys. Hey, Josh, man, we appreciate you, man. You're doing a good job, man. You're a smart quarterback. Keep up the good work, man. We're behind you 100%, man. And, hey, don't give up. We still can make it. We got a chance to get there, man. And if we don't, hey, we got next year. God bless you, man, and God bless your family. And y'all have a Merry Christmas.
Hey, thanks a lot. Merry Christmas.
I'm looking at some of the games that you guys won. You know, you lost two toughies. You know, you lose a tough game to Detroit. You lose a tough game to Atlanta. But, you know, you also just I think of that Rams pass to Cadillac. I think of the Cincy pass we talked about earlier in the game to set up a game-winning field goal. And then I think, having done some radio shows with Rondé Barber, and he says, you know, you don't get calls in this league, and they balance out. You for most part, you'll make plays to win games. You'll make plays that'll lose you games. Are you starting to sense that in your career now?
Yeah. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's pretty balanced. You know, one week you'll get a bunch of calls and you'll be stoked about it, and then the next week or a few weeks
and then next
the road,
week the NFL's apologizing because they got it wrong on the Kellen Winslow touchdown.
I can't really comment on that. But
actually, you can now because they've apologized, which means they've said they were wrong.
Oh, well, I still...
Well, no, Jeff's shaking his head now. He's like, Ledge, don't get him in trouble.
I'd still rather avoid the subject.
That FedEx guy walking around the locker room on Wednesdays.
I think you know my sentiments, but yeah. You got to avoid any controversy when it comes to dealing with the league.
All right, well, real quick, I'll talk about it. You know, a hand fighting going on between two guys. The defender's got his back to the quarterback, essentially almost face guarding Winslow. What a sick catch that was. He just, every catch he makes seems to outdo a previous catch or somewhere. You keep saying, how does he do that? Because I thought of the touchdown catch the previous week where he beats the cover two beater over the middle for the touchdown. Catches the front and back of the football at the same time.
Yeah.
That's, if you ever try to do that. And this week he catches the ball, it comes over the top of him almost the same way.
Yeah. It's sick. It really was. Watching it on film, I mean, you're like, that's why I threw it to him. You know, I wanted to throw it to the other side of the field, but it was supposed to be a little pick route. Not a pick route, but a rub route where we run two guys across the middle and Ernest comes underneath and they passed it off. Had a guy waiting for him. And basically, I tried to buy some time and put it up to somewhere in the vicinity of Kellen Winslow. And, I mean, he caught it, and I was ecstatic for the time being, but about 5 seconds later, there was a call.
History was changed. But the following play, they throw the fade the opposite corner to Mike Williams, and looked like they mixed it up a little bit there, and I was kind of hoping for just a little do-gooder call, you know, maybe a little balance in the universe, as they say. You know, the ref's kind of, okay, you know, maybe we could owe them one, and that didn't happen. You know, it's been a bugaboo with – with this team? Third and short, or a goal line offense? Call it anything inside the 2 or the 3 yard line. It's been frustrating at times. We've gotten, you know, Donald Penn touchdowns. We've had EG throw a touchdown. We've had some short, you know, I remember Blunt's touchdown early against the Steelers. That was short yardage, right? You know, it was breaking 2 or 3 tackles. Give me your whole take, because you said a lot about this in your press conference the other day about, you know, about wanting to have the game in your hands and wanting to not necessarily worry about, you know, those things. I guess until you get more successful as a team on 3rd and 1, it's going to be an issue that needs to be talked about. So, you know, your floor, number 5.
It's kind of a deal where, yeah, I mean, I'm competitive. I want the ball in my hands. I want to have a big say in what happens. But same time, whatever works, honestly, it really is. It's like I said earlier, if we run it 100 times and win the game, or we throw it 100 times and win the game, you know, I want to do whatever it takes to win the game. And, yeah, it's really been tough. It's really been tough sledding. You look at the Redskins game, we fumble it. You look at the Lions game where they got some penetration, stopped the QB sneak.
Atlanta.
The issue, yeah, you look at the Atlanta game.
The first game.
Yeah,
the first
Atlanta game. Yeah. I mean, it's been rough, but I mean, I wouldn't say that we're going to get stopped the next time. I don't believe we will.
Coach made a reference to the fact that O-line, which is, you know, a lot of rookies doing a very admirable job, Jeremy Zuda stepping into the center, and James Lee and other people getting more and more playing time. But let's face it, these guys aren't an O-line that's been together for 5 or 6 seasons like the Patriots O-line. And he said you can't practice goal line in practice because you get guys piling on each other, you get injuries. It's, you just can't risk it. The last time you really do it is in the preseason. How much of the timing – you know, because we had the Hardman thing that happened the previous week. Is that something that's going to cure itself with experience, you think?
Yeah, and it'll really, I mean, it'll cure itself with a little awareness. It really will. I mean, just the idea of anticipating what the defense is going to do before they do it, and also what we have to do to make the play work, and knowing every sort of venue that could possibly happen, that the route that the play could take to lose a game or win the game, and know which one to choose, what to do before you do it.
Well, like your 2-point conversion, you had them spread out, and that was a choice you get to make at the line of scrimmage. Am I going to throw a pass, or am I going to do the little quarterback draw that you did? So as long as you work the options into things, you think the percentages are going to go up, correct?
Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, if it works, it's the best call ever.
Ernest Grant threw a touchdown. It's all good.
Yeah.
Who cares who gets the ball?
If he would have thrown it over his head and or it would have got broken up or anything, it's a terrible play call. You know, it's terrible. What are they doing? But it worked.
And Donald Penn has stats, awesome too, now.
Oh, he's got stats.
He's got stats.
He's got stats.
All right, man, let's go to Mike before we go to break. Thanks for hanging on, Mike. Merry Christmas. You're on with Josh Freeman.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you guys.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, Josh, I got a simple question, and I think I know the answer, but I just want to know if you consider yourself a leader of this team or the leader of the team. I'll hang up and answer off the air. Merry Christmas, fellas.
Hey, thanks.
You too, Mike. Merry Christmas.
That's a good question. You know, that is a very good question. You know, I do feel like I'm a leader of this team. You know, you talk about the leader, and I don't know if, I mean, there are people like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, who maybe fall into the category of the leader. But, I mean, you look at it, there are coaches. I mean, Drew Brees has Jonathan Vilma. You know, Peyton Manning for so long, he had Junior Seau, Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel. I mean, there are so many leaders. I mean, when you're in a very successful organization or a very successful team, there have to be multiple leaders. You know, one guy cannot do it all. He can't lead the defense, lead the offense, lead the special teams. I mean, everybody in their own right has to be a leader. And I would definitely say I'm a leader on this team. But to have somebody say that they are the leader other than Raheem, I think it's a bit far-fetched.
It's a good question, though. It's definitely an interesting take on an individual. I think, you know, if your career progresses like you hope it will, or you're determined to make sure it does, I think you'll be looked at in those the names of those guys. I think you also sometimes you need a ring or at least a championship or a banner or two, because then it kind of comes. It's almost like stripes are on your arm as you serve service, you know. So, yeah, good question, Mike. All right, guys, we'll come back and close up shop. We'll finish it up for the Josh Freeman Show. Don't forget our pregame. Remember, the game's been flexed. If you call flexed to 4:15, flex, but it's been moved. And that means our pregame starts at 1:30 a.m., 3 o'clock for the network, 4:15 kickoff from Raymond James Stadium. 6-8 Seattle coming in. They've got playoff aspirations. I expect a very intense crowd, and hopefully you'll be in it too. You can go to Buccaneers.com to find out more about how you can get some tickets for tonight or this Sunday's game. I'm Ledge. That's Freeman. We're coming back with the Josh Freeman Show on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Freeman Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE at US 1035.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Josh Freeman Show. Scott Ledger sits down every week, and it's just been a blast, dude, getting to know you and talking football with you, learning from you, and everybody keeps asking me what you're like. I say he's driven. He's driven. There's, you know, he's got the money. He's got the talent. He knows that, but this guy wants to win, and I don't expect you to be here in February studying film, but let's say April. We'll give you a couple of months off after the playoffs, okay?
No, it's definitely, my livelihood. I mean, obviously, you look at God, family, and football. I mean, people always talk about those, but really, football is it's been a big part of my life. And since I've moved to Tampa, since the Buccaneers drafted me, I take it very personal. My track record, I take it very personal whether the team wins or loses. And I'm going to say that, if it's at all within my power, I'm going to try to figure out a way to win. And that's what I want my legacy to be, the guy that could find a way to win the games. And, I appreciate you giving me till April to get back after we make this awesome Super Bowl run this year.
But it would be nice.
I'm going to be working, man. It's crazy because, you get some time off, and it's always about what are you going to do with your time off. I'm always thinking about what I'm going to do when I get my other chance to have some time on, you know. And it really has been a pleasure. As we're nearing these playoffs, the regular season has been a lot of fun with all these fans and with you on this radio show.
And it's been a blast.
I just appreciate all the support and appreciate the continued support as we head into these next two games that are going to decide our fate as far as the playoff berth is concerned.
You're starting to really feel it when it comes to Carolina, Atlanta, New Orleans. You're starting to really feel it. It usually takes a couple of games, a couple of tough losses here or there, or a good win. Starting to feel the rivalries now?
I can tell you that I strongly dislike one of the three. But I hate the other two.
I like it. We'll find out later who that is. But yeah, Monday you're going to have to root. See, I don't like Atlanta for some reason. You know, with everything New Orleans went through in the history of that city over the last decade and stuff. When they won their Super Bowl, I really did feel good for that team. But something about these Falcons, I do not like.
That makes one of us.
Well, you're going to have to be rooting for the Falcons on Monday night once you, take care of your game in Seattle. Is that difficult for a team? I mean, you don't care, right? Suddenly,
it's for selfish reasons.
Matty Ice is your best buddy, huh?
You know, I'm not necessarily rooting for the Falcons. You know, I'm rooting for us. You know, at that point in time, the Falcons are going to be carrying our flag along with theirs, and I could care less about. I honestly hope the Falcons lose in their first playoff game, but I hope that they win this next week so we can continue.
How about give us 30 seconds on what the fans should expect at Raymond James Stadium? It's your last home game, unless if you get into the playoffs and crazy things happen. I don't think you'll have a home game, so this is your last one on your home turf for the season. A little message to the fans, maybe?
No, I'm going to say is all the fans that have been out there this season, we really appreciate your support. And this Sunday it's a do or die situation. Luckily for us, we have a lot of stand up guys, a lot of guys that are put into the preparation this week, and we're ready to go out and put on a performance of a lifetime, and that's our mindset right now. And I really think that that if we go out and execute, that we'll do our part and solidifying an opportunity to make the playoffs.
Good show, bro.
Thank you. Stay healthy. Appreciate it.
Go kick Seattle's butt. Thank you to everybody that called. We're out of time. Merry Christmas, everybody, on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
You've been listening to The Josh Freeman Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.